All right, it's summertime in Bloomington. It may not feel like it, but that usually means road construction, special projects that you'd rather do while the students are gone, right. Or football games to worry about. Anything that residents should be on the lookout for?
Well, we will be, and other entities, county, state, others, of course, do take advantage of the construction season to do some things, IU itself. There'll be a lot going on, roads, sidewalks, trails. Obviously, we have a big road being built on the west side of town going up to Indianapolis, and all that's going to be happening. So patience, attention, you know, these are investments for the future, and if you see things we ought to know about, don't hesitate to let us know.
Let's get a quick update on the city water. I see the contaminant levels were going down, which mm-hmm. is a good sign, but then also recently reports about the water rates going up about 22%. Yeah. The latest recommendation, perhaps, what, about $10 a month for the average mm-hmm. resident? But, you know, it adds up, about $120 a year. Where will that money go?
Look, I'm extremely sensitive to any cost increase. I mean, one of our first jobs in government, besides public safety, is protecting the public purse and being as efficient as we can be. We haven't had a water increase for 4 or 5 years, and before that, it was another 4 or 5 years. One of the things we want to get better at is having regular review of what we need. That being said, it is fundamentally clear that we have got to protect and invest in our water system to make sure we have safe water and that we're responsible with the environment. I will do what we need to do for that. I'm very pleased that our new head of Bloomington Utilities, Vic Kelson, has jumped in. We are going to be investing in the water quality to make sure our water quality is the highest quality and protecting the health and safety of everybody. So that means we have to do some investment. You know, we let this disinfectant byproduct over the last several years kind of snuck up on people. We're going to fix that. There were some better numbers. The most recent testing we did, we're doing the monthly testing now. Better numbers came out, but we're not out of the woods yet. We've got to pay very close attention, and we do need to invest both in the water to make sure we protect our water and in the sewer side to make sure we don't damage our environment. We still have occasional overflows of the sanitary sewer system into our streams, and we don't want to have that happen.
Is most of the funding for the water department, is that all fee-based, or is it different?
It's all fee-based. It's basically all customer paid. We have all the individual homes and businesses, and then we sell wholesale too to IU and to jurisdictions around us in the county that buy our water, Brown County, others that buy the water.
So what's next in that storyline?
Yes, so the way that process works is the utility board has to vote on seeking a rate increase. Then the city council has to vote on that. It'll go to them this summer, we hope. Then they actually take two different paths, because a water rate increase has to go up to Indianapolis to the utilities board up there for a review. The sewer rate increase does not go up to Indianapolis, so that's done locally. Both of those processes will be running over the next few months, and we welcome input, and we're going to be talking about why it's important and what we're getting for the money. I am also committed, let me say, to what I call conservation pricing. I do believe that a subsistence level of water, drinking water, we shouldn't be increasing the rate on that. State Indiana law makes that very, very difficult. I've been talking to our advisors, I've been pushing hard, because I do believe the first few hundred gallons that we all need each month to live, we should really be providing that without rate increases. We're not able to do that under state law right now, but we're working on that, because I think that's something we ought to be fixing.
And I know we talk a lot about money, but it's a big part of what you do, and that's coming up with the budget. October is when the budget officially is submitted and done, but the work is starting now, is that right?
Oh, yes. I inherited the 2016 budget that I'm working within. We've actually got, we had our first meeting with City Council a week or so ago to begin to discuss the budget process. Next week, my department heads and I will be spending a full day digging into this. I believe the budget is the single most important policy document in a government. It sets the priorities of where we're spending all the public money. What are we trying to accomplish? I want that to be a transparent process. I want it to be clear what we're trying to buy with all this money. And so that process is underway. We'll have very active summer, working internally and then with the council. And then I think the hearings should probably be in August with the council.
First year as mayor, what changes do you, and I know it's still early, it's May, but what changes are you looking at right now that you see are necessary?
Well, you know, Joe, it's part of it is just trying to make sure we're as efficient as we can be. I've run big parts of government before. Every place you go, there's always ways to get better at what you do, and there's 650 people who often know a lot of ways to get better. So I'm having lunch with employees every few weeks. I sit down with 10 or 12 or 15 employees, and we talk about government and how it can be better. We have task forces working on that. So part of that's how do you get better at what you do? Let me get rid of that. Another part is what are we working on? And those issues are jobs, affordable housing, and transparency in public schools. I mean, to me, those are the key efforts, and those I'm working on very hard.
I've been reading a lot about the county option income tax that would pay for, it pays for capital improvements, but in the Monroe County case, they want to use it to fund the dispatch center, is that right? Which then, part of that, the city helps fund, so that would relieve part of that city budget, am I reading that right?
Yes, so the county option income tax, also known as the local option income tax, COIT or LOIT, they're the same thing. There is a provision in law that allows a local jurisdiction like our county to put in place a public safety local option income tax or county option income tax. Again, kind of like water, that is a fundamental service that we need to be sure we're providing well. We have a combined dispatch center that serves the county, fire, police, all the jurisdictions, and much of that used to be paid for by telephone fees, landline telephone fees, and those are shrinking significantly. The state recognized that, allows this to happen. If the local jurisdictions, Ellettsville, county, city, a majority of the representative voices pass that, it's a 25-cent 0.25% income tax. That will create a substantial opportunity to improve the public safety services and to pay for that dispatch center. Anything that doesn't go for the dispatch center also goes for public safety. That will enhance public safety. You know, you've heard me talk about we have had a doubling of violent crime in this community over the last 10 years. We need to take steps to address that. The police department and the public safety board are working on that. But the LOIT, assuming it does get passed by the county council, the city council, and Ellettsville council, will help us do that.
And then does that affect any major part of the city budget as well?
It does. All those jurisdictions help pay for the dispatch center right now. So it helps create opportunity for that. And it will help enhance the public safety budgets of the city and the county and Ellettsville and others.
Just this morning, there was a press release about responses to the broadband request for information, I believe you just received recently.
We did.
So what does it look like? Anything you can give us?
Well, I've felt that this kind of digital infrastructure, this gigabit speed broadband fiber, is very essential for our community's future. It won't happen automatically. It's not easy. There are communities in our state and in our country that are getting ahead of us with this. So we put out this request for information to see who could help us get this done. I'm very pleased we got a dozen responses from around the country, several international, Canada, overseas, companies that specialize in this area of digital infrastructure who have responded to us. I was pleased with that. If we'd only gotten one or two, that would have been disappointing. We got 12. Our job over the next few weeks is to dig into those responses. I got a thick binder of all that and try to look at the options. And there are different ways to skin this cat. And I want to be very pragmatic about how do we most efficiently and with the highest quality try to get the digital divide, overcome the digital divide, make sure Bloomington's a cutting-edge city in terms of infrastructure for the internet and for the future.
So I guess that's the next step, is just going through all those 12, and then you'll move forward from that?
We're going to be learning, listening, talking about what these options are. I don't know what exactly the next step would be. If we found, for example, one that was head and shoulders above the others, we could begin work with them to say, what would it take? Let's think about what steps we would all need to take. If we find several that are good ideas that vary, we may need to bring them all in and kind of talk about those options. So there's a lot of hard work ahead this summer, our homework, and then we'll come back and kind of talk about where we are.
Well, there's been a lot that's happened since we've talked last time in the Trades District. Mm-hmm. Of course, with the new year came a new mayor, new staff, and we were talking about a letter of intent from Flattery and Collins and Visage headquarters. But now we're seeing two new parts that you just introduced a few weeks ago, a business incubator in the former Showers Mill and then an affordable housing unit with the Carmel-based developer Pedcor.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about how that came to be and where we're at now?
Sure. You know, I've felt that the Trades District is an exciting opportunity for the city, and it's going to grow organically. We need to let that develop as businesses want to invest, as housing can be developed in a way, not with one fell swoop, but over time. So we put a pause on this plan for a very large apartment building in the middle of the Trades District, and I'm glad we did, because now we're seeing this organic development. The first two pieces you mentioned, one, the Dimension Mill, which is a beautiful historic building, much like the Showers building where we are from the early 20th century, will be restored, and it will be kind of the energy beehive hub of all this with incubator space, with startups, with some of the co-work activities going on. And we're looking at how to design that, and I think the Redevelopment Commission, which owns the land, will probably be collaborating to develop that building as a kind of core center. We're very pleased. There were two sites in the state that were going to be selected for this new affordable housing development, which is not just affordable housing because it's also very energy efficient, transit oriented. It's really trying to create low cost, long-term living expenses by we may have no fuel cars, you know, electric cars, shared cars kind of things, a lot of really interesting things. And Bloomington got selected, in part because we had the Trades District and this connection to the B line and the visibility with the new district. So those are 40 low-income units that are going to be focused on working people who work in the area to be available. And we're talking to some more people about other ideas that they're interested in the Trades District. So what I hope will happen, what I hope we'll see, is step by step that Trades District developing with new jobs. The focus of it is jobs. We want jobs in the Trades District. And we're starting in the Dimension Mill. We're in discussions with other job creators, businesses that may be locating there. And you know, just stay tuned. I do think it's an organic process. It's not gonna happen in one snap of the fingers. It's gonna be an evolving thing. And we're gonna be laying out streets. It's gonna be very green. It's gonna feel good. It's gonna be a hip new place, a new neighborhood in town, and I'm looking forward to it.
How does the incubator, that part, get funded?
Well, likely it will be funded directly by the RDC. The new businesses, the incubators, the service providers like we hope Ivy Tech, IU, Small Business Development Center, BEDC itself may locate there, they can't pay market rent, these new companies. What we want them to do is get there, get started, and then graduate and evolve into growing companies. So we're going to have to subsidize that a little bit. Tech Park does that, and it likely will come from the RDC helping develop that building. Plus, it's an historic building. It's beautiful, but that's not cheap to do an historic building too. That's what we do in Bloomington. We do it right.
How will the affordable housing units help develop jobs in that area?
Well, it makes it possible for people who aren't earning a bunch of money to live there. One of the big challenges in Bloomington is how do we make this city work for people from all walks of life, different incomes, different expectations, different goals. We need to have a mix of affordable housing. I'm very proud that we're getting 40 units that are very affordable right downtown, right in the Trades District, so that it doesn't just become a high-end district. So it's planting a flag that says this is for everybody. Whether you make $28,000 a year or $128,000 a year, we want you to be able to enjoy and be part of this community.
The previous developments before you came here, aren't technically off the table per se, are they?
They are not off the table, no. Any developer is welcome to come, any project is welcome to approach us. We've, in front of the Redevelopment Commission, I guess 2 or 3 weeks ago, we kind of laid out the grid system that we're gonna put in there, welcome people to look at what they can do, again, focused on technology jobs. So that's what we're encouraging coming. There'll be housing there as well, and that's fine to have that mix in the area, but we want to start and focus with jobs.
Is Flattery, have you talked with the Flattery and Collins proposal that were mm-hmm. on board before? Are they looking to be on board with this, or it's been quiet from that perspective? I'm just curious.
Well, conversations have definitely happened. I don't think I've spoken with Flaherty for 2 months maybe, but I know that some of my colleagues here, the staff in the city, have. Envisage, which is a local company, I've met with in the last week to talk about opportunities for them. A great company like many other local companies. We'd love to get them assembled in the Trades District, and I think they're interested in it. So it's figuring out what kind of space they need, what kind of lease they can sign, what they're ready to do, and see if we can put enough together. And we're playing that role, but also, of course, it's private developers who are going to build the buildings to make that happen. So we want to bring them together. Flaherty, the local CTP partners, other groups are all looking at this.
I wanted to bring up a quote that was in the Herald Times this past week or so from Economic Development Corporation President Lynn Coyne. It was during an annual meeting where he criticized the lack of consistency in land use decisions and suggested that that's a factor in stopping businesses from considering Bloomington early in their search process. Is that something that you would agree with?
I think we know that the main reason businesses locate or expand is it's because where people want to live. Businesses come to Bloomington or they grow in Bloomington because the leadership making those decisions think Bloomington is a good place to be in. And it's true. This is a great city to be in. And that's an incredible asset and value that we have, the kind of community that's got such high quality of life. That being said, it is important that we help jobs stay here or grow here by making decisions that need to be made. Easy is not the right word, but clear, let's say. I do think that a city and a county and working together, what we want to do, in my view, is we have a high bar in Bloomington. If you're going to build a building, if you're going to expand a business, we have a high bar. We expect high quality products. We expect good jobs. We want good corporate citizens. But if you meet that bar, my view is we ought to make it easy to do that. If you don't meet the bar, if it's not the right to fit, no problem. That's okay. It's no skin off anybody's nose. It's not a perfect fit for everybody. But Bloomington is an incredible community for businesses to locate and grow. And when they meet that bar, I do think Lynn's point is let's not make life too complicated or stressful in doing the thing that they do best, which is grow jobs. We want good jobs. We need good jobs. Our economy's been in a shrinking economy in our metropolitan area for 4 years in a row. That's a big challenge we got to address.
I wanted to end. We did have two questions, actually three questions from listeners who emailed in. The first two are from Mandy. She wants to know about addressing poverty and homelessness in Bloomington. And since you've taken office in January, what steps has your administration taken to address these issues? And she points out that she lives near Seminary Park, uh-huh. and her husband and her are concerned about the homeless people panhandling while they wait in the bus stop with their daughter. It sounds like maybe two separate issues, but maybe you can go ahead and talk about
Well, affordable housing and homelessness are very important issues to me. I was the president of the Shalom board before I took office here. I've been meeting with representatives from the homeless community and social service providers and housing providers. I think ultimately jobs, affordable housing are all important. The city has just committed substantial resources to Crawford II, the second round of the permanently supportive housing to help the most critically at-risk homeless people get off the street and get into apartments. It's federally funded, but we put some of the federal money in. That's important. I think vagrancy and panhandling are different issues. Most of the people who are homeless for a little while. They have trouble, they get back on their feet. We all want to help that happen for kids, for families, for everybody. Vagrants and particularly panhandlers is a different community. There's some overlap, but a lot that's not. Addressing those behaviors is important. We want to create jobs and housing available for folks, and I'm I've been sitting down with representatives from the homeless community and representatives from the business community, and I'd actually like to get us in a single room to talk about some of that, how we address these behaviors. In the long run, we need good jobs, good schools, good housing, high quality of life will help us address these fundamentals, because people don't want to be homeless. Kids don't want to be homeless. We have a couple thousand in a given year that come through homelessness, and that's a really important thing for us to address. If there are individuals who are behaving in ways that are not appropriate in our community, we need to address that. But fundamentally, this is how do we as a community help people be successful? And that's fundamental hard work that we're underway right now.
She also wanted to know if some people were not reappointed to the Bloomington Human Rights Commission after you took office, and what were the reasons for that?
Well, the city has about 32, give or take, commissions and boards, and they all have terms in them. And any mayor, whether you're a new mayor or an old mayor, you've got positions coming up and people wanting to step in and fill those roles. And one of the jobs you do is you try to assemble the best group of people to serve, whether it's on the Human Rights Commission or the Aging Commission or the Public Safety Board or the Environmental Commission or, you know, a lot of them, MLK Commission. And I just try to get a good mix of people from the community, a good mix of viewpoints. You want people who are energetic and committed to it, and we if people's term ends and there's somebody to step in their place, we thank them for serving and let somebody new come in. We welcome everybody to be part of this. But there's natural turnover in those commissions that just happens every year.
Ivan wants to know a little bit more about the Park Mobile app. It seems designed to ensure that some users will accidentally pay for an entire day parking. There is no way to specify when you park that the session should end after a certain amount of time. He says it's happened to him other day, lying in bed at night and remembered that he forgot to end his session at lunch. Is there some type of change that can be made for that?
Well, that's a great comment. I certainly agree that the goal of the Park Mobile app is for convenience and to help people pay their parking, not to pay for overnight parking or beyond expenses. I don't know the details of every bit of how that works. We certainly can look at how to improve it. You can use the coin, you can use your credit card, you can use Park Mobile, whichever you like best. It works with your lifestyle. I know some people really like the Park Mobile because you can do the exact time you need, you can end it right when you need, you don't have to guess, and that's helpful. I have heard people who forget to turn it off, and I think, you know, I'm open to how we improve that. Whether we don't want to be punitive. It's not meant to be that. It's meant to help people conveniently use the parking that we want to make sure is workable for folks. So it's a good suggestion. We'll try to keep getting better at it.